93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
The football is finally back, but boy do we wish it could have waited another week. Neither Shrewsbury or Portsmouth managed to follow the script accordingly on Saturday, with the hosts inflicting a shock defeat on Kenny Jackett's side, who began the season as one of the favourites to win automatic promotion to the Championship come May 2020. It's not all doom and gloom, however. There are still 45 games to go in the league after all, so a long, long time for the wrongs to be put back right. This evening, myself and my two guests for tonight's show, Matt Drabble and John Hooper, will be on hand until 7pm to mull over the weekend's defeat, but most importantly, move on and preview the Blues' next match as Carabao Cup action returns to Fratton Park. Today we are asking you back home whether or not you believe that the lack of a natural number 10 player holds the key between Pompey and promotion. What went wrong on Saturday? Where do the Blues need to improve and push on? And who would you like to see start tomorrow evening's game under the lights? Contact us all the usual ways. Start your text with the word Express and send that to 81400. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com or tweet us at expressfm. Don't shy away from including your score predictions for Pompey versus Birmingham either. Let's get on with it then. Sit back and relax for the next 60 minutes or so, as it's time now for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome to the Monday Football Hour, the second episode of the show for this brand new season. Stagecoach across the South Coast remains sponsoring the show for the 2019-20 campaign. You can find out all the latest news and updates on fares, prices and other bits and bobs over at stagecoach.co.uk. Now, on Saturday afternoon, the Blues kicked off the new campaign with a trip to Shropshire, where Sam Ricketts and his Shrewsbury side welcomed them to the Montgomery Waters Meadow Stadium. The game was heard right here on Express FM's Pompey Live, and commentary of this one comes from usual pairing Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Everyone's back to 0 points. Here we go again. Portsmouth with the same goal. Can they cause a different outcome and get themselves back to the second tier of English football? We are underway. Christian Burgess launches the ball forward for Pompey. Marquis getting a first touch in a Pompey shirt but can't win it. Morrison almost stands on the ball. And then Okunobiri knew he was offside, took a couple of touches but waited for the assistant referee's flag to come up. It did. And Portsmouth got themselves a free kick. Lee Brown will take a left-footed in-swinging corner. Everybody back to defend for Shrewsbury. Here it comes. Whipped in deep towards the far post. Headed back across goal. Loose nailer shot. Blocked. Really well blocked. And it's behind for another corner kick. Vincelo with a vital interception. Walks goes left to Brown. Midway inside the Shrewsbury half. Left-footed diagonal ball towards the far post. Burgess battling for it. McCrory second ball shoots at goal. Another shot. Good save. It's Downing with a slight misjudged header backwards. And Morrison stolen off Burgess. And Morrison's put it over the bar. That is casual defending from Burgess, and he's got away with it. 0-0. Lee Brown from the dead ball line cross to the far post, and O'Leary made a bit of a mess of it. Got a little bit on the ball, a fair amount of Ronan Curtis, but managed to avert the danger, and Shrewsbury will clear. Our Portsmouth going 4-4-2. It doesn't look like it at the moment, but it is going to be an option as Lawrence immediately will drive into the Pompey penalty area. Runs into Downing. Now Giles across from the left for Shrewsbury, and Burgess got in a bit of a mess, but managed to head the ball down and away. And then a clearance is charged down from Bolton, but McGilvery was there to gather. 0-0. You sense this game is going to change a little. No angle for Worley to deliver this. What's he going to try and conjure from here? Burgess and Brown are battling, and he said he plays it short to Giles. Shoots from distance. What a goal! What a magnificent Bolton on that right-hand side. Bolton from the right, crosses to the near post. Pittman helps it on, good save. The ball moving over halfway, over to the left-hand side. Ronan Curtis driving forward, hugging that touchline. Brown ahead of him, now 30 yards from goal. Try to go in between two players. Gap wasn't there. Shrewsbury is sloppy. But then there is a late challenge from McCrory, who is already on a yellow card and receives his second yellow card. And Ross McCrory's Portsmouth debut is going to end 10 minutes early. He was trying to close down the clearance from Donald Love, and he just caught him in doing so. Two yellows make a red, and McCrory is off. Can Pompey finally force one home? Trailing 1-0. Last moment, surely. This is towards the near post. Punched half away. Curtis over the bar! What an opportunity for Ronan Curtis! And the final whistle goes. And Portsmouth have been beaten here at Shrewsbury Town by a goal to nil.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
The highlights there of Pompey's agonising 1-0 defeat at the hands of the Shrews on Saturday afternoon. After the game, our commentator and man of many talents, Andy Moon, went pitch side to catch the thoughts of a gaffer, Kenny Jackett.
Kenny, I guess a bit of a frustrating afternoon for you there.
Yeah, I felt for two-thirds of the pitch we were okay. It was easy for us to get on the ball, dominate, move up. But similarly, you know, they played five at the back. Big side, and in the final third we just couldn't shift him around. We couldn't go past people. We had not enough clear-cut chances for the amount of ball that we had in both halves. And our final third player crossing, particularly from the right, wasn't of the standard that gave their defenders problems. And I felt was pretty easy to defend against. Was that probably Lee Brown? Maybe, you know, put some good balls in and was a threat in terms of our wide players, because it was today. It was, you know, creation. All four wide men needed to thrive, because, as I said, you know, for two-thirds of the pitch, you know, we dominated, we got up into their final third, and they had a game plan to maybe just sit off us and invite us on, try to waste time if they could. And fair play, you know, the boy Giles has scored a fantastic goal.
Yeah, was it just perhaps decision making in the final third? What can you put that down to?
Maybe a little bit of everything. Some quality, I thought. You know, quality of crossing, quality of runs into the box. When the ball's rolling, it seems, you know, in injury time, when it's rolling across the box, you know, timing and desire to actually get on the end of it wasn't quite there, because we had good chances in that period. And you're right at the death, 95, 96 minutes. You know, Ronan's got a rebound from a corner and struck it, and it's just hit Burge's head and gone over, and did sum up our play in and around the final third and in the box when we had, as the away side, so much of the game.
Any complaints with the McCrory red card?
No, I don't think so. He'd already been booked. I asked him on the way off, did you catch him? He said he did. Some frustration from his point of view, but not something that you can do. You put the ref in a position where he can... Where he can punish you that way, and if he has caught him, which he said he has, that then, you know, he's opening himself up to a second yellow.
You mentioned the goal is a great strike. Is that just one you just have to move on and say fair play? He's put one in the top corner against.
Yeah, I mean, I look at it again, and did we react? Did we get out to him quick enough? Maybe, maybe not. But I was right behind it, and it looked in the top corner from the moment he struck it.
Your experience, obviously, know that the opening day is only so much, but I guess you feel that you'll get more from this team going forward, and you mentioned the final third as people play together more and perhaps get a bit more used to each other.
Yeah, I feel man for man we've got, you know, a good side and a good squad, and I still feel that. I'm obviously frustrated today because, you know, right now it just is about today. You know, I get that, you know, we've got to bed in and we've got to work at combinations and we've got to, try to find that cutting edge if we can. We have the players capable, definitely, and we have a good group.
James Bolt looked like he took a couple of knocks playing. How's he?
He did, yeah. It was a tackle from Wally just early on when he came on, and it's sort of twisted his ankle quite badly. Obviously, we were down to 10 then with all three subs used, so he had to just try to limp through as best he can for the rest of the game.
John Marcus kind of showed what a soldier is today, because he really took some physical challenges playing up front on his own.
Yeah, he did, and you know, for... for Gareth and for Brett playing in the number 10 positions, and also, you know, for the wide men we have, he, you know, brings a lot to the team and had a good debut.
Just find a few, obviously Marcus Harness and Ronan started on one side, moved to the other. Is he kind of viewing them as an interchangeable situation, or are you just kind of looking to work out the best option of who plays which wing?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, I feel that, you know, Ryan Williams is obviously injured, but, you know, with three good wingers there, two of them new. Ronan established after last season on the left, but against a back three, I did feel could play either side. Probably for Ronan anyway, just right side. He just couldn't quite get away from the boy Giles. And you know, him and Anton Walks, or, you know, they had a lot down that right-hand side, and we didn't get the delivery or the one person in behind them or to beat them that we needed, because, you know, there were key areas and they negated us slightly. Generally though, for Ronan, his sort of big relationship is with Lee Brown down the left hand side, and I'm comfortable with them swapping and, you know, working towards, you know, bringing the best out of the players.
Kenny Jackett there with his thoughts on Saturday's 1-0 defeat to Shrewsbury Town. Right, time to bring in my two guests now then, and in the wings waiting for their voices to be heard. We have someone who has been in and around the station quite a lot recently, Mr. Matt Drabble. Matt, good evening. We had to get you back on the show before you leave us and move back to the States.
Yeah, no, glad to be back, definitely. And like you say, I've been around the station quite a lot. I feel like I sleep here sometimes at the moment that I'm in here editing audio and stuff. But no, I'm really glad to be back and really glad to be talking Pompey again before I go off and everyone starts calling it soccer.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, not soccer. No, contribution has been greatly appreciated over the last few weeks. And also to his left-hand side, trying to get my bearings straight, John Hooper this evening. Welcome back to the Football Hour, John.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Matt, we'll come to you first of all. Not the result we wanted, but it wasn't actually a bad performance.
No, it's a strange one, how you take it when you're beaten by a wonder goal. Other than that, there wasn't really too much to fault in Portsmouth's performance. You know, in the final third, maybe we could have done a bit more, as Kenny alluded to in that interview there, you know, beating people in one-on-one situations. But, you know, Shrewsbury, they set up to defend. It was a five at the back. They were supposedly wing-backs, but they sat pretty deep for most of the game and really contained Marquise and, or Marquis, however you want to say it. That's been debated as well. And then didn't allow our fullbacks to overlap, and, you know, we had some success with Lee Brown getting in crosses from the left, but other than that, they shepherded Portsmouth really well, and we defended well, and in the end we're beaten by a goal. And yeah, how many times are you going to be beaten from a right back strike from 35 yards? It's not every week, is it?
His first senior goal, that from Ryan Giles as well, it says a lot. And Matt mentions there, John, about you know, the way Shrewsbury set up a defending or a defensive, you know, setup for them. 63% possession for Pompey, 15 shots to their 3, 10 corners to 1. Just shows really the contrast of both teams' attacking intent. And it's not knocking down Shrewsbury. They played really well for you know, the way they wanted to. But do you just see it as one of those games where we just could not really do much better than we did?
For me personally, I think, well, I wasn't in the games. I can't give a brilliant opinion, but from what I've been told, we played well. We created enough chances. Just one of those days where we're falling to the net. So we can't do much about that.
I think it was one of those games, Matt. I think in the first 20-25 minutes, Pompey all over Shrewsbury, couldn't get that, you know, that clinical ball into the final third, that last minute shot. You just couldn't get it in the back of the net. Shrewsbury came into the game a little bit more before half time. Felt like we needed that goal before the break to kind of set up the confidence into the second half. It didn't come, and eventually Shrewsbury got their winner. And as you mentioned earlier, just a complete wonder goal, and one, but you just can't stop. You can't stop that.
No, Craig McGilvery had no chance. And as we've said, you know, it will come. And the last season we saw Curtis and Lowe getting past, you know, their fullbacks easily with confidence. And, you know, results breed confidence. And look, I don't think this is a permanent issue when that confidence arrives, and against teams that play more openly, then I think we will have success. The one thing I would say that could be a potential change is maybe I would have liked to see Ben Close in there instead of either Naylor or McCrory. Naylor and McCrory are very similar in style, both more defensive central midfielders. I think Ben Close offers something a little bit different, a bit more fluid. He likes to progress the ball when he gets on it. His first touch is always forward. And although Naylor and McCrory, look, McCrory definitely had some forward runs in pre-season. We saw that he is capable of those surging forward
runs.
He's
a hungry little player, McCrory.
He is. But I think in this one, they were maybe just a bit too defensive, and Ben Close could have offered something different. Or Andy Cannon, if he's, you know, fully healthy.
That is Matt Drebbel and John Hooper's opinion on Shrewsbury away on Saturday. We'll get back to that in the next part of the show. That's it for part one at the moment. Don't forget as well, you can have your say back home as well. Do you have a score prediction for tomorrow's clash with Birmingham? Do you think Pompey need to make one more signing? In particular, maybe someone to fill the number 10 role. Maybe you think a change of formation would work better. Whatever you do think, please do let us know. 81400 is the number to text. Start your message with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at ExpressFM. So don't go far. We'll be back very soon for the second part of the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back once again to the Monday Football Hour, proudly sponsored by our friends over at Stagecoach Buses. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap and reliable fares across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth and beyond too. Find out more information over at stagecoach.co.uk. Now, let's bring the two gents in the studio back into the conversation. And we'll go back a little bit again to the game at Shrewsbury on Saturday. We touched on it a small while ago in part one. But, John, I've seen a lot of reaction on Twitter, which isn't the best thing to look at after a game, I must admit. One game played, 45 to go. Is this a potential relegation season? Because that's the way it all seems to be building up on Twitter.
No, it's not. It's nonsense.
Heads are being lost absolutely everywhere.
It's one game, it's the opening game, and we lost 2-1 the goal.
Yes.
Look at Luton last season. They dominated us from start to finish at Fran Park. We beat them, they won the league. Mm-hmm. We didn't go up. Simple as that.
Exactly.
So, no, it's people jumping and gone way too soon.
It's silly to say things like that, isn't it, Matt? I mean, as John mentioned there, we beat Luton 1-0 at Fratton Park last season, opening day. They went on to win the league. I remember probably about 10 years ago, I think Norwich were defeated 7-1 on opening day by Colchester in League One. They went on they stormed the league that season. You cannot judge anything on the opening day again, especially considering that wonder goal and three shots against our defence compared to what was it, 17?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And you know, anyone thinking that is obviously already got, I'd say, prior biased against the way things are set up this season. They're probably holding those emotions from the end of last season and from how they feel we've done in the transfer window. So that's probably where those thoughts are coming from already built up emotions and opinions about, you know, Kenny and the way the football club's being run. But yeah, as you said, it's a long, long season. And we saw that last year as well. You know, we had a terrible patch and then we had an amazing patch at the end. It's, you know, two great patches with that awful one sandwiched in between, and there's so many ups and downs in the season, and you know, this isn't even a real down. We played well, as we've mentioned. You know, they had one shot on target and it went flying into the top corner.
You must mention as well the way Shrewsbury set up on Saturday, John. I know you mentioned you weren't there, but you look at the team lineup, you look at the players they've got at their disposal. They may have been near the bottom four last season, but actually they've got a pretty good team, and that defensive unit they've got at the back, it's a huge defence they've got, and that seemed really difficult for Pompey to break down. No matter who we've got on our team, that was hard. That was a hard game for them.
Yeah, they what's his name? The manager, the Shrewsbury manager. He was,
Sam Ricketts.
That's the one. He was taught by Jacket, so yes. They have a similar style of football. I believe I saw him last season, the season before, and the fact they play so defensive, I mean, hard for anything to break them down. Leland and Pompey, who at the moment are still in transition with the new signings we've made, so it's not. It's one of those days. One goal, open end season, can't complain too much of it, and then go to the next game.
A text in from John in Hillsey. Good evening, John. Good to hear from you. He says, hi, guys. I know it was just the first game of the season on Saturday and I expect us to bounce back this week at home and have another good season. I have a little concern that we have not won for six competitive games now, including five at the end of last season, and only scored four goals in those games. So we need a win on Saturday against Tranmere to get our confidence back. Also, Ben Close got a lot of the goals at the end of the last season and needs to be in the side, in my opinion. John in Hillsey. Matt, his point there about Pompey not scoring too many goals of late, you know, bringing back up from the end of last season, is that something to be concerned about?
I mean, I think that's why we signed Marquis or Marquise. The debate rages on.
John.
Yeah, that's why we signed John. So, yeah, that's, you know, we've got the most proven goal scorer at this level. We can't complain about a lack of goals yet when he was shepherded by three centre-backs for the entire half. We'll see how that progresses. I do tend to agree with John's comments, not John Marquise, but John from Hillsey's comments about Ben Close. I think he could have added something different, as I already mentioned, at the weekend. And yeah, I think he got, what, 7-8 goals since February, from February until the end of the season. So yeah, it was a good run of form for Ben Close. And yeah, I think we do need a win this week. You know, it's a big week for Portsmouth now. So, you know, bounce back. You've got a chance to bounce back almost straight away in the cup tomorrow. And okay, that game is not the focus of this season. But then Saturday against Tranmere, a newly promoted team, you'll want to look to establish yourself in the league there as well, and maybe send a bit of a message.
Do you feel this cup game, Matt, has come at the right time for Pompey? It having been moved a week before it should have been played to tomorrow night instead of next Tuesday. Do you think that could work in Pompey's favour with, you know, the majority of teams playing next week and us having a little bit of more of a rest next week?
Yeah, definitely. I think the cup game is coming at a good time, and another reason for that is the new signings. You know, get them their minutes under their belt as quickly as you can and get them assimilated into this team. Of all the training you do with teammates, nothing compares to actually learning how you play on a pitch in a competitive game against another team. So I think, you know, for Johannes, Marquis, Downing, Raggett, he looks like he might be healthy. They'll be getting used to playing with their new Pompey teammates, and earlier and sooner rather than later.
You speak of new signings there, Matt. John, two players who I think partnered really well on Saturday against Shrewsbury, Paul Downing, Christian Burgess. Could you see that being a potential partnership going into the new season?
Yeah, 100%. We saw Downing last season at Blackburn, in Championship, he was incredible. And then we went to Doncaster as well, he's even good, being better there. So now, Burgess, we know how good he is when he's with us in League 2. And League 1, I think he's okay for this level, but...
He's still that good, but he cleared Ronan Curtis's 98th minute equaliser attempt on Saturday.
No, I think going forward, it could be a good sense of partnership. I still think you need to... I hate to say it, but I'm not sure. I think Raggett could go in instead.
There's a lot of options available at Pompey's disposal, Matt. Sean Raggett was injured on Saturday for the trip to Shrewsbury. He may be in contention again this week for the next two games, but you know, you look at the centre-backs we've got, Christian Burgess, Paul Downing, Sean Raggett, Jack Watmore when he comes back from injury, hopefully Christmas, New Year time. Even Anton Watts can fit there, Tom Naylor can come in centre-back, maybe even Lee Brown. A lot of players there who can come into that role, and are solid players as well.
Yeah, I think the big one for me there, the name you mentioned, is Jack Watmore. I think he was possibly one of the most underrated players in the team last year. Had he not been playing next to Matt Clark, who's now, you know, had his Premier League move, okay, he's been loaned out to Derby, I think we'd be talking, you know, ranting and raving about Jack Watmore every week. I thought he was absolutely excellent last year, both on the ball and defensively. And I think that only went unnoticed because he had Clark next to him. And, you know, I really cannot wait for him to be back on the side because, bar injuries, he's just such a consistent performer for Portsmouth. Ever since he came in the team as a youngster, you know, he rarely has a bad day. He rarely makes a mistake. Okay, he might not have the kind of constant defensive dominance that Clark does, but in terms of lack of mistakes, that's one thing he's really good at. They rarely come.
Speaking of consistent performance there, John, another name, Lee Brown. I think he got my man of a match on Saturday against Shrewsbury. It looks as though, so far, I know it's still early days, one game competitive pre-season as well. It looks as though he's really improved this season, and that's something pretty impressive considering, like you say, he was one of the first names on the team sheet. He was really unmoved last season, but he seems to have improved.
Yeah, I remember last season especially, he was incredible. I thought he could have been player of the season, arguably with Matt Clark, but you can't go and do anything more to dislodge him. But so far, so good for Lee Brown. But I'd like to see... Unless Hanstrup playing, because I think Hanstrup's a good player when he's given the chance.
Lee Brown partnership as well with Ronan Curtis down the left wing. Notice in the first half on Saturday, Matt, Lee Brown was playing number wing, that side of the pitch with Marcus Harness. I mean, it switched around in the second half. Ronan Curtis, Marcus Harness switched sides. Seemed to be a little bit more going forward in the second half as opposed to the first half. Do you think that Lee Brown, Ronan Curtis kind of partnership is kind of gone a little bit under the radar over the last 12 months?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think that's a really good point, Jake, that you get better playing with people. And, you know, there's partnerships all over the pitch. You look at the centre-mid partnership, striking partnership, centre-back partnership. And like I say, one that kind of goes unnoticed is the full-back-winger partnership. And they overlap so well. And a big part of Portsmouth's success last season was getting balls into the box. Which is one thing Lee Brown is certainly very good at, and very, you know, again, it's something that goes a little bit unnoticed, is his ability to get a good delivery in. And him and Curtis overlapping is a real headache for opposition right backs, and I would like to see them stay there. You know, Kenny mentioned that he'd like some swapping sides and mix things up, but I would like to see a bit of stability there, and then maybe try and form something on the other side with Walks and Harness, who are both very pacey as well.
Not to mention James Bolton as well coming into the side. You know, that could be another possible partnership down that side of the pitch. We'll talk about him later on in the show. But I just want to touch on, as well, lads, the red card incident from Saturday. Here's how it panned out on Pompey Live.
The ball moving over halfway, over to the left-hand side. Ronan Curtis driving forward, hugging that touchline. Brown ahead of him, now 30 yards from goal. Tried to go in between two players. Gap wasn't there. Shrewsbury is sloppy. But then there is a late challenge from McCrory, who is already on a yellow card and receives his second yellow card. And Ross McCrory's Portsmouth debut is going to end 10 minutes early. He was trying to close down the clearance from Donald Love, and he just caught him in doing so. Two yellows make a red, and McCrory is off.
Two yellows do make a red. Ross McCrory sent off on his competitive Pompey debut. A lot of shaking heads going on in the studio around here at the moment. A little bit harsh, Matt.
I think so, but I think you put yourself, you give the referee a chance to make a decision when you do that. You know, if that makes sense. If you go in like that, attempting to close the ball down with your studs raised, you're giving the referee the opportunity to send you off. And as unfair as that seems, I think just a little bit more nous and intelligence in that situation would have been called for from Ross McCrory. I know he's a young player, and look, that's the type of player he is. We know that. If anyone's watched Ross McCrory at Rangers, they will know that. I've got mates that are Rangers fans, and they've spoken to me about it, and he puts himself about. And we saw that there. Innocent mistake. I don't think there's anything particularly malicious. No. You just closed the player down with his studs raised, I think.
I hate to mention the name, John, but Matt mentions there the type of player Ross McCrory may prove to be. Ben Thompson, he's a very similar kind of player. He's a hard-hitting, no-nonsense central midfielder who I think a lot of teams would want in that position.
Yeah, last season Ben Thompson was incredible for us before he left, and I hate to be a dampener, but haven't Rangers got a recall option in January, so that means in theory he could never repeat.
Yeah, it could be. Okay, after the break we'll be continuing to look ahead to tomorrow evening's game against Birmingham City in the Carabao Cup. Don't forget you can get involved as well all the usual ways. 81400 is the number to text. Email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter @expressfm as well. If you've got a score prediction for tomorrow's game, if you've got any opinions on the current team, what needs to change, who needs to come in, does anyone need to come in, does it need to be a change of formation, anything you want to talk about, please do let us know here on the Football Hour, and we will return right after this short break.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored as ever by Stagecoach Buses across the South Coast. They offer student day rider tickets at just £2.50. Just hop on one of their many buses across the city and beyond too. Show them your student ID card and you'll be on your way. You can also pay via contactless as well to make your journey a little bit easier. Okay, let's now take a moment or two away from the Pompey chat to reflect on how our local sides got on over the weekend. And we start off with Haverfordwaterlooville. Haverfordwaterlooville, the Hawks were held to a 1-1 draw at home to Welling United in their first game back in the National League South. Rory Deacon's 11th-minute opener was cancelled out 7 minutes before the break when the visitors struck level through Adam Coombs. Friday evening actually saw a feisty encounter between Gosport Borough and Bognor Regis. The game ended 6-1 to the Borough, and Bognor finished the game with just 8 men. Tommy Lee sent off after a rash challenge which led to a miniature melee on the pitch. Captain Harvey White was then dismissed after receiving a second yellow card before former Pompey Academy youth product Dan Smith, who I said on Friday had moved to Cork City, my correction there, he's gone to Bognor Regis. He was shown a straight red card after the Rocks went 6-1 down. Heads absolutely gone all over the place at Privet Park. Jay Ripener scored his first goal for United Services of Portsmouth on Saturday, as they too were held to a 1-1 draw in their first game back in league action. They had to come back from a goal down with just 10 minutes of the game remaining. And it wasn't just the Hawks and the United Services who had to settle for a singular point, but Petersfield Town too. A 2-2 stalemate at Bedell, home of Laverstock and Ford, was the end result for the Rams in the Wessex League Division 1. And finally, some competitive wins to report from the local scene of football. Those both came from the Wessex Premier League. One via a 4-0 thrashing of Shaftesbury at the Crest Finance Stadium, thanks to the ruthlessness of Mick Catlin's AFC Portchester. And it wasn't a bad day for Baffin's Milton Rovers either. They put 5 past Amesbury Town with no response in what was the host's first game on their return to the top flight of the Wessex League. Jason Parrish and Tyler Moret both netted doubles, whilst Tommy Tierney added the other. A good weekend in the Wessex Premier for both AFC Portchester and Baffin's then, who move up to third and second respectively after emphatic victories. The Hawks will have some thoughts to dwell over the next few days. However, it's still very early days for the side who sit 10th in the 6th tier. we will have another report on our local sides here on the Football Hour, which will again be live from 6pm on Friday evening with you reviewing each team's weekend fixtures. If you can't wait that long, you can catch Henry Deacon live from 7 o'clock on Wednesday evening for Over the White Line. Also, we must mention as well that the Pompey women unfortunately suffered a 2-0 defeat against French top division outfit Lille in their pre-season game at the PMC Stadium on Sunday. Not the result perhaps they would have hoped for, but we understand it was a valiant effort nonetheless from the girls. And again, we will have another report on where they are this Friday evening. Okay then, after the break, myself, Matt and John will be looking ahead to tomorrow's game under the new lights at Fratton Park. But one man who I'm sure we all want to hear from before the three of us share our thoughts is the man in charge of the Blues, Kenny Jackett. Matt Drabble, who is right here in the studio with us tonight, popped down to the training ground earlier today to speak to the gaffer ahead of a Carabao Cup clash with Birmingham City.
So, Kenny, obviously not the start to the season you wanted, but 45 games left. What was missing from that game at Shrewsbury for you?
I think some play in the final third, but Shrewsbury played sort of five at the back, let us have really possession for two-thirds of the pitch, and then we couldn't break them down. Our passing in the final third, our delivery, just our sharpness, our ability to go past people 1v1, just what wasn't there. I did feel sort of by the end we were unlucky to lose the game because we had so much of it, but similarly... creating chances and the way we move the ball can be improved upon.
And obviously the game Tuesday gives you a chance to bounce back almost instantly from that one.
Yeah, and we're pleased with that. We want to get into a rhythm as quickly as we can. We haven't had a home pre-season game yet because, you know, for good reason, because for pitch renovations and stadium renovations and things that, you know, we're pleased with and needed improving. So it's our first time this season at Fratton Park. We have a big week, and if we can put on a good performance, whatever the side may be, on Tuesday night, we do think it will help us to get into a rhythm and certainly help us for Saturday against Tranmere.
Last year you were able to use cup competitions to drive competition for places in the squad and keep players fresh. Is that the same plan for cup competitions this year with squad rotation?
Yeah, I think it is. I think most managers do that and want to be, you know, looking at the people that really do need it, so that throughout the season you can be as strong as possible. And with a game coming so early, I mean, we're probably the only two sides that are playing this week. Everything else, or the main bulk of the fixtures, is next Tuesday as well. So it gives us a really good chance to try to build up some momentum if we can.
And you played 62 games last year compared to 53 the season before that, and then 51 the season before that. Even with the squad rotation, is fatigue or fixture congestion a concern if you progress in these cup competitions?
I don't think that's the case. I think you when you plan out a season, obviously the league is a priority. It was no different last year, but similarly, when the cup games come around, you have to want to win. Whatever team you put out, and you know, particularly early season, you should have people fit and available and looking to press and stake their claim for a first team shirt. But similarly, you have to play the cup competition like you want to win, and then it takes you where it takes you.
And for all the conditioning and pre-season friendlies, it's often said that nothing compares to first team competitive minutes. How important is it for some members of your squad to get these first team minutes under their belts tomorrow night?
Yeah, it's very important. And for me to look at, let's say, the eight new lads that we have, to make sure that you know, we get the best out of them, and they do integrate and know exactly where they are in the squad and the team.
Any update on any of the injuries in the squads?
Bolton got quite a nasty injury on Saturday, ankle injury due to a tackle, for which, you know, he was limping for most of the half. He won't be available this week. Sean Raggett is back after an elbow injury and is fully fit and in training this morning. They're the only two changes from Saturday, other than the suspension of Ross McCrory.
Kenny Jackett there with Matt Drabble, looking forward to tomorrow evening's game at Fratton Park, Pompey's first game back at home since that playoff semi-final defeat, or draw rather, to Sunderland back in May. Matt, how was he to interview, actually, Kenny Jackett?
Yeah, no, he was very talkative today, gave great depth in his answers and was very open and upfront about, you know, how he feels cup competitions are not to be taken lightly. And I think we'll see a strong squad tomorrow. That was the vibe I got off him, is that we'll see a fairly strong Portsmouth squad. I wouldn't say more than four or five changes. I'm not thinking we'll see, you know, a whole 11 with, you know, Alex Bass, Matt Casey, those sort of players. No disrespect to them, but I think it will be a fairly solid squad. And Look, I think we sometimes forget, because we've got out of those financial problems, that cup runs can still be a bit of a money spinner for the club, and they can be important, just because we're not at the stage we were in 2013 or 2012, you know, when the club was really in a downward spiral. Cup competitions can still be an important part for the club, and, you know, if Birmingham make 11 changes tomorrow and Portsmouth play a fairly strong side and we get through and we draw a Premier League side, then, you know, it looks at a much better prospect.
Matt, thank you for going down there and doing that. We'll be speaking about Kenny Jackett's answers in that interview after the break, but now it is time for a quick ad break, after which attention fully turns to that game, and we'll also have a sneak peek at Birmingham City with this week's opposition, featuring once again to give you an insight as to what they really are all about. So stay tuned and don't move a muscle as we return here for the final part of a Monday Football Hour live on the only radio station that remains passionately Pompey, Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back for the last time tonight to the Friday Football Hour on Express FM, sponsored, of course, by Stagecoach Buses, who offer adult day rider tickets at the discounted price of £4.10 if you buy via the Stagecoach Bus app on the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. Now it's time to take a look at what Pompey have to come up against tomorrow night. Here is the magnificent Robbie James with his take on this week's opposition.
The opposition. It wasn't to be quite the taming of the shrews for Pompey up in Shropshire on Saturday, but fortunately for Kenny Jackett and his side, attention quickly turns to the first round of the Carabao Cup. Championship side Birmingham City make the trip down south this week for the first round of the competition, a game which has been brought forward a week for TV showing purposes. The manager. Former Leeds United assistant and Oxford United boss Pep Clotet is currently the Birmingham caretaker head coach, following the departure of Gary Monk in June. The 42-year-old Spaniard became the assistant gaffer at St Andrews last March, but has now had the chance to prove himself in the hot seat and resurrect his managerial career in England. Fortunately for Pep, he has a 100% competitive win record at the club, having come away victorious from his first and currently only game in charge at Brentford on Saturday. One to watch. Striker Lukas Djukovic is our one to watch this week. The 30-year-old, who came through the ranks of a certain side down the road, boasts a large Football League CV, having had successful spells up the top for Coventry City, Middlesbrough and Bolton Wanderers, to name a few. The English-born talisman currently has a tally of 22 goals for the Blues of Birmingham, having played just over 100 games for them so far. Leading scorer. Danish left-back Christian Pedersen currently sits as the club's leading goalscorer, with one goal to his name this season following an impressive header from outside the box to secure a 1-0 victory against Brentford at Griffin Park at the weekend. The 24-year-old, who signed a 4-year deal following his transfer from Union Berlin last summer, made his debut at home to eventual championship winners Norwich City on the opening day of last season and has featured 39 more times since. Current form. It's one win from one during this season for Clotet's side, who as a result sit 8th in the second tier. Birmingham managed also to pick up wins against Bristol Rovers and Swindon Town in pre-season, with the match against the latter finishing 6-1 to the side from Brum. They did, however, suffer two penalty shootout defeats on their tour of Portugal and a 4-0 thrashing at home to Brighton and Hove Albion in pre-season.
Robbie James, thank you very, very much for that in-depth look at tomorrow evening's opposition, Birmingham City, who Pompey will take on in the first round of the Carabao Cup. It is live on Sky Sports, but we, of course, trust you to turn on your radios and listen to us instead. Okay, gents, let's talk about that game tomorrow at Fratton Park. And a good place to start, actually, Matt, would be the brand new lights on top of the South Stand, Milton End, North Stand, Fratton End, and I guess the floodlights will be turned off for this one.
Yeah, no, it seems like they're going to, you know, have their debut, if you like, amongst maybe a few Pompey players. After the old floodlights were taken down, as much character as they had, they're often a sign of mockery for opposition fans, weren't they? Those floodlights with about three bulbs left. So yeah, the new ones will be out there tomorrow.
New ones will be on show. Fratton Park's had a lick of paint, John. The South Stand has had huge renovations to it, and I don't think many people have seen it yet. I've not seen it. The outside of the ground looks to have, like I say, a nice new lick of paint. There's new signage everywhere. Would it feel like not a brand new home? It's still Fratton Park. It's still what we all love. But are you excited to be back, considering all of these changes?
I can't wait to be back, to be honest. It's been too long since the Sunderland game, and now I just can't wait to go and see Pompey play tomorrow and hopefully get a result.
This cup game, Matt, we mentioned earlier that perhaps it's come at a good time, with Pompey and Birmingham the only two teams to play tomorrow night in that cup, with everyone else playing next Tuesday evening. Do you feel the Carabao Cup is not getting in the way of Pompey's season. We're only one game in, of course, but do you think that having not had this game to play at all would have boosted any more chances going into the league? Because let's face it, I don't think we're going to get any close to winning it.
No, I think this game, I don't think this game is a distraction this early. I think if we, like I say, progress in the cup competitions, as was mentioned in the interview with Kenny earlier, then, you know, maybe it could be a distraction. But no, I don't think this early this game is a distraction. And with all these new signings, it's a great chance to create competition for spots and, you know, and really build some rhythm going into the Tranmere game on Saturday.
If we were to get through this game tomorrow, John, who are you looking at in the second round of the competition? Bear in mind, it is region last year. Because I was looking at this last season, and we played AFC Wimbledon at home, and you know we got beaten, and we'll come back to that in a minute. And you look at the teams that we could have drawn against, you know, but there's top championship teams in there, away days that we've not been to at all, or haven't been to in a long time. Do you feel it's that kind of competition where perhaps teams don't take it as seriously as the FA Cup? So there's more chance of progressing through as a lower league team, and more chance of getting that big money away day.
Going to your first question, I don't care who we get as long as it's a home tie.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like some people look down on this competition, even though it's still a good competition to be in, because as Matt said earlier, there's a lot of money involved, and that could help us say, buy a new player in January or pay wages and whatnot. So I'm not sure who I want to get, but I also find this competition higher, like the FA Cup.
Pompey's last appearance in this competition, nearly 1 year ago to the day, at AFC Wimbledon at home. It was a 2-1 defeat, very, very, very late on. It was an Anton Walk's own goal. He couldn't have really done much about it, but we, nonetheless, regardless of what you think of the Carabao Cup, whether you want to go through or not, whether you're not really bothered, you're going to want not a better performance, but a better result from last season.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like an extra time. I remember that game well, that Portsmouth were just settling for penalties. It seemed that's kind of what we were set on. And then right at the end, a cross comes in, Walks diverts it into his own net. But he's come along a lot as a player since then. And, you know, I think as well, Kenny's very keen to make it clear these cup games aren't training games or games to be taken lightly. But I do think if you get those mistakes out in cup games, get those mistakes out in the games that really don't matter as much to the club, mm-hmm. then that's, you know, that's a good thing. And at that time, Walks was a fairly new player, and I think, you know, he's improved since then. So I think that's key, that it was a cup game, and you know, it's not just a game to throw away, but it's maybe a game to experiment for Kenny. You know, we've talked about maybe going two up top, something we haven't seen mm-hmm. yet. We didn't see against Shrewsbury, sorry. And maybe not just experiment with kind of personnel, but experiment with formations mm-hmm. and tactics as well.
Do you agree with that, John? Perhaps a bit of a free hit, as Matt just mentioned. Players coming in, you kind of look at it as if we lose, okay, it doesn't really matter, we're out of the competition to perhaps a better side in a bigger division. Do you feel as though we can give some players who didn't have any game time on Saturday, perhaps won't get as much game time in the next few games, a chance to really prove themselves?
Yeah, I feel like tomorrow, as Matt said earlier, well, it will be a free hit because they are a good side. They're a side who could feasibly get the playoffs in the Championship next season. No, I'd like to see us feel a strong enough side to say we can at least give a good old go and say we tried hard, tried the best, and try and get a result at the end of the day.
Pompey's last game against Birmingham came on the 20th of March 2012, over 7.5 years ago, at Fratton Park. It was in the Championship the season we got relegated. Nikola Zigic put the visitors 1-0 up in first half, but in the second half it was Chris Maguire, David Norris, Kelvin Atuhu and Marco Futak in the second half to secure a 4-1 victory for Pompey. You'll take that tomorrow, wouldn't you, Matt?
Yes, definitely. No, I think so. I remember that game, actually. I remember being there. I remember Atuhu's goal. But that was a good game then. And yeah, I'd take that tomorrow. I think any win's a good result. They've got good young players. That's one thing Birmingham do have in good depth is young talent. They've got Jake Clark-Salter, actually, an under-20 World Cup winner with England. I think they'll take a result.
Birmingham, John, they've been a team over the last few seasons, actually, that have been kind of relegation battlers mm-hmm. at the bottom of the Championship. It's unfortunate to see, but, you know, quite a big club in that division, but a team of the last few years who just can't seem to get settled in the Championship, and perhaps could be there again this season. We don't really know yet too far, you know, at this moment, but do you feel as though actually this is a game that we could easily win?
I feel like it's a game that on paper we can win because we're at home, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I still feel like they'll be too strong for us in the current squad.
We have some texts in. We have John in Gosport. There's a lot of Johns about. He says, phew, relieved to hear Pompey football show is still on. Where are we? Was slightly concerned when he couldn't seem to find commentary in previous matches. No, we are back, John. He also then continues with, just hoping that Kenny Jackett agrees with me that regardless of the importance of any non-point scoring matches, you must not, especially betting in players at the start of the season, waste a competitive match playing the reserves just to give them a run out. That is John in Gosport's opinion. And Mike T from Southsea says, evening guys and welcome back to the Football Hour. I thought Brett Pittman finally swung it for Pompey when subbed in a triple substitution and defining moment at Wesley Park against a strong Hawks side who deserved a 2-2 draw apparently, with Pittman making sublime touches on the ball and displaying great control, including the goal. A well taken winner. Super sub or deserving more game starts? What do you think, guys? That's from Mike T and Southsea. Brett Pittman, he's got a question there. Is he a super sub or is he a game starter? Who wants to take on that one?
Right, so I think this sort of links into the number 10 question, doesn't it? Because it depends where you see Brett Pittman as a number 10 or a number 9. So obviously, Pompey are sort of lacking a clear number 10 at the moment. Gareth Evans can play there, but he can also play right mid, right back and centre mid, apparently. So there's not really anywhere Gareth Evans can't play. Harness can play there. If Brett Pittman can fit in the team as a number 10, that's ideally where I'd like to see him. It's just whether Kenny Jackett sees him as a number 10 and Brett Pittman himself sees himself as a number 10. You know, he is a goal scorer. We saw that two seasons ago. But I think the one thing is that there isn't much competition for spots, and he might not be able to afford to be fussy about where he plays. I wouldn't mind seeing him as number 10. Personally, as a number 9, I don't think he puts enough pressure on the defenders for me. His work rate isn't there, and that might be to do with, you know, he's an older player, he's maybe not got the legs anymore. But no, if I was wanting to see Brett Pittman, it would be at number 10. And just to continue on that, a question was directed to Ben Close at the press conference today. You know, with that spot opened up and McCrory and Nele in centre mid, could you see yourself as number 10? And Ben Close said, no, he couldn't. He said, I'm a centre mid. I'm not a number 10. Mm-hmm. A centre mid is my position. He'd be happy to play there, but it's not his position. So I don't think he's competing for that spot, which really does open up. If Brett Pittman wants it, then it's sort of his for the taking with Gareth Evans. And obviously Andy Cannon when he's healthy.
Yeah. Interesting to hear Ben Close's opinion on the number 10 role. Some score predictions coming in on Facebook. Andy Mitchell-Moore is predicting 2-1 to Birmingham, whilst Barry Clements says 2-0 Birmingham. I have an email from Stephen Jerome. He says, hiya guys, it wasn't the result we wanted to start the season, but I don't think we did too badly, really. We did create a couple of chances, and even with 10 men, we could have salvaged a point right at the end with Ronan Curtis's effort that just went over the bar. We just lost to a wonder goal on Saturday. It was a great strike from their lad into the top corner and gave McGillivray no chance. But we shouldn't press the panic button just yet. Remember, Luton came to Fratton Park and lost their first game, and they went on to win promotion and also won the league. There's a long way to go. Let's keep the faith. Play up Pompey. Steve Jerome in Fratton. Just one more thing I'd like to mention before we do leave is the injury tomorrow. John, James Bolton said to have picked up a knock at Shrewsbury on Saturday. Could you see this as a good chance for Anton Walkes to come back in?
Yeah, 100%. I think Bolton, I've seen him in pre-season, he looks like a very assured defender, but I think Walkes overall could be the better player going forward because of his age and his pace as well.
And of course, injuries still to Bryn Morris and Ryan Williams ruled them out of tomorrow's game against Birmingham. Sean Raggett is back, and Matt Drabble, we hear?
Yes, that was something that came up today. Sean Raggett had an elbow injury, an unusual one for football, but he will be back in the picture for tomorrow. And, you know, that's someone we could potentially see line up against alongside Christian Burgess or even Downing, or, you know, even Matt Casey is still at the club, even though they're looking to loan him out. Casey is still a Portsmouth player at the moment. So, his name's certainly in the hat for tomorrow.
And we have also been told that Ross McCrory's red card on Saturday will be carried over to tomorrow's game against Birmingham, which means he will be available for Saturday's game against Tranmere. Some good news there, John, for Pompey's sake. He's just missing out on a cup game. We'll be back for the league game.
Yeah, that's perfect for us. It's brilliant news. One, from what I understand, McCrory is an exceptional player. I didn't see him play much at Rangers, and I watched Scotch football too much, but a lot of crew mates and Rangers fans say he's incredible and he'll do well for us.
Okay, Pompey Live returns tomorrow live from Fratton Park, the first home game of the new season. I won't be there, I'll be at the game, but I won't be on the mic. We have Matt Drabble, who will be filling in my shoes tomorrow evening with Liam Howes and Alan Knight. So don't miss that. That is live from 7 p.m. tomorrow on Express FM. Here is a short promo of what's to come.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again! This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Pompey Live is back, and it wasn't the best of starts for the Blues with a 1-0 defeat at the hands of Shrewsbury. But could that momentum change with the return to Fratton Park as the Blues host Birmingham City in the Carabao Cup? Join the unmissable action Tuesday from 7 o'clock. It's Pompey versus Birmingham on Pompey Live.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
And I've just been told that Matt Drabble actually made that promo, so I think we'll be changing from Jake FM, as Liam calls it, to Matt Drabble FM before he moves away to the United States. Gents, huge, huge thank you to you both for joining me live in the studio this evening. I'm going to ask you for your final thoughts with a score prediction for tomorrow's Carabao Cup clash with Birmingham, starting with you, Matt.
I expect Birmingham to make a lot of changes and Kenny to play a strong side, so I'm going to go for a 2-1 win for Pompey.
And John, what are you thinking?
3-1 Pompey.
3-1 Pompey, any goal scorer?
Marquis, Hawkins and an own goal.
Own goal, oh, okay. Very intriguing. Lads, thanks a lot as always. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw and Pompey to win on penalties. It does go straight to penalties tomorrow. There we have it then. That concludes the second episode of the Football Hour for this brand spanking new season. I'd like to thank both Matt Drabble and John Hooper for coming in to talk all things Pompey, as well as you back home too for helping us to get through the hour with your much appreciated interaction. Liz Beckett returns with her award-winning show The Shout, that is live right after the news here at 7 on Express FM, and a change to scheduling tomorrow as Ian James and Meg Sanders sit in for Mason Jordan. The Portsmouth Breakfast Show is back from 6am. They'll be chatting to director Jason Christopher and also some cast members from Hailing Island Amateur Dramatic Society production of Dad's Army, and they'll have the Express Rewind from 9am. Pompey Live will be back from 7pm tomorrow evening for full coverage of the Blues' first round Carabao Cup clash with Birmingham City. I won't be there on my mic tomorrow, as I mentioned, but I will be back on Saturday. Filling me in tomorrow will be Matt Drabble here. He joins Liam Howes and the legend Alan Knight for that one. Can Pompey bag their first win of the season tomorrow against Championship opposition? Pep Clotet's Birmingham stand in the way of the Blues and a place in the second round of the Carabao Cup. We won't want to repeat last season's performance against AFC Wimbledon, where we lost 2-1 thanks to a last-minute own goal. However, we're looking to change that tomorrow. Have a good evening. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow from 7 for Pompey Live. I'll be back on Friday, but until then, play at Pompey and have a good week.